Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show Conversations. Each Conversations episode, we talk to some of the authors, writers, comedians, experts, movers, and shakers in the parent world that we admire and also speak about or listen to on the Dad Timeout Show regularly. Being an entrepreneur is going to be a little bit of a theme tonight, so I thought I would bring out a very special guest to kick off the show, our own in-house entrepreneur. What's your name, young lady?
Kira.
Okay, Kira, you have 30 seconds to pitch us your Etsy store. Go.
Hello, my name is Kira. I have an Etsy store called Kira's Cool Crafts where I sell lots of different slimes, including cloud slimes, butter slimes, and custom. There's many more on there if you go check it out on Etsy.com/Kira's Cool Crafts.
Fantastic. What is a butter slime? All right. Great job, Kira. Our guest tonight is Alisa A. Schmidt. She's an award-winning entrepreneur, founder, and CEO of 30seconds.com. 30seconds.com is a vibrant lifestyle media company that inspires, connects, and empowers busy women and men in about 30 seconds. Their journalists and expert contributors share amazing tips and hacks and articles and recipes and other nuggets of wisdom that make the world a happier, healthier, and more delicious place. 30 seconds at a time. Oh, and she's also the founder of iParenting, which sold to a company called Walt Disney. Coming up next on the Dad Timeout Show, Conversations, Alisa A. Schmidt.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show Conversations. Coming to us all the way from Chicago, Illinois today, please welcome our very special guest for the Dad Timeout Show Conversations, Alisa Schmidt. Alisa is the founder of and CEO of 30 Seconds. She's a Latina serial entrepreneur who previously founded iParenting, a bestoftheweb.com that she sold to the Walt Disney Company, where she served as director and executive editor of the Disney Interactive Media Group. Alisa has been a newspaper columnist, magazine editor, radio and video host, and she has created content and marketing programs for various Fortune 500 companies. She has a BA in communications from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which awarded her as its Entrepreneurial Achievement Award, and an MSJ in journalism from the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University, go Wildcats, where she's on the board of NUvention Media Entrepreneurship Program, and so much more.
That's a mouthful. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the kind introduction. I am well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I am. I've been very excited to talk to you for a long time. When we launched our podcast, The Dad Timeout Show, a year and a half, 2 years ago, I had targeted several people that I've really enjoyed over the years. And it's a thrill to have you finally on the show. And we'll get into the nuts and bolts of how we know each other digitally and almost socially.
But close, yeah.
Let's, for our listeners that when we have referred to the website several times as we have our smart articles with smart people section. So we basically dissect articles and then discuss them as fathers. But can you take us on your path, and then we'll get all the way to 30 seconds, but can you take us on the path that you started in your entrepreneurship as a teenager into college, and what got you into journalism and then eventually developing websites and then eventually into the parenting space in the website world?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for the great question. I mean, it's a long meandering journey, as many people have through life, but basically I've just always been working, ever since I was, 10 years old. I started working as a, babysitter. And then as soon as I could, legally work, I was in jobs and just always driven by, service and kind of providing solutions and mm-hmm. helping others and also just taking care of myself. It was really important to me that I always had you know, the ability to take care of myself or get what I wanted or needed, a new shirt or, you know, whatever. I like that feeling of being independent. So always, you know, doing something. And when I started school at University of Wisconsin in Madison, I was really, you know, thinking I was more of an artist. I was going to become a fashion designer and sort of use that love for fashion to, you know, plot out my career. Mm-hmm. But came to find out that really, I just didn't think, you know, after being immersed in that world, it didn't really fit. It didn't really feel like that was my calling. So I started taking other classes, and that's the beauty of, you know, kind of a liberal arts education. You can take all these classes and sort of figure out what feels right to you. And so I landed in the communications department and ended up with a degree in radio, TV, and film. And I just, you know, absolutely loved that area. And so out of school, I started working at a TV station. Actually, it was a Telemundo affiliate in Chicago, mm-hmm. Where I was so excited about that job, because not only did I, you know, I was kind of in the world of TV, but I also got to use my Spanish and be immersed in the whole, you know, my Latinx culture. And that was just a wonderful, great job. But being in that space, and I was on the management side in TV, I was doing operations and scheduling and sort of, you know, plotting out the newscast in terms of personnel, I got the bug to become a journalist myself. And just realized the excitement of that. I really wanted to be on the, you know, creation side of it rather than the management side of it. So that inspired me to go back to school for my master's in journalism at Northwestern. So Northwestern, that's a whole other sort of chapter, but loved that school, mm-hmm. loved that program. Such a, you know, hands-on education in how to become a journalist. And sort of, you know, went through that program and found my passion for writing, mm-hmm. and telling a story, storytelling. And so upon graduation from Northwestern, I was working in as a reporter and in PR, and, you know, had a few things going on and became pregnant with our first child. And that's when everything changed. Literally, you know, personally and professionally, my world turned completely upside down for the better.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So the pregnancy drove me. And again, I thought it was maybe just my whole being a journalist. I was very curious, like, what's going on with my baby? What's going on with my body? And I was sort of becoming obsessed with knowing more and more about this big change happening. And so sought out different informational sources, like, to figure out what's going on. And I was just really consumed by it, and I couldn't find enough information. At the time, there was only one magazine that was kind of a quarterly publication about how to stay fit during pregnancy. And I was kind of like, I need more. You know, I need to know if these cravings are normal and how big should the baby be at this point. And of course, the Pregnancy Bible was out at the time, you know, how to expect when you're expecting, but I really wanted a timely source to land at my doorstep. And so I decided to make one myself. And the rest is history.
Isn't that funny? Because I might be a little bit tracking ahead of you. My children are still younger. I waited a while and then we had ours, but I went freelance early mm-hmm. on. I chose to, like, leave a steady traveling heavy job and really be a present father. And I kind of ran into the same thing, not to that extent, but I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to look at. I didn't know where to go online. Mm-hmm. There's a couple textbooks, how to, you know, the expectant father books and how, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I received those from all the relatives, and, you know, you get your milk carrier and your papoose and your all that, but you didn't know how to go far beyond that. And that led me to kind of searching online and finding a Twitter community of like-minded dads, mm-hmm. and then finding going further than that and further than that. And then that's actually how I ended up channeling into the 30 Seconds Tribe, and because I was using it as a resource way early on, as you guys were growing. So you kind of got to your tipping point, and then you got through iParenting, and then that mm-hmm. kind of that had its own story. But mm-hmm. then what was, you know, you at that point, you're pretty much an experienced entrepreneur because you've launched something, right? Mm-hmm. And you're a parent. So you've got boots on the ground experience in developing your next thing. You were familiar with the process of launching. So in that vein, what drove you further on to start 30 Seconds?
Well, you know, I think just to backtrack for 1 minute, because I do want to cover this, you know, sort of turning point with iParenting, which is that, you know, it just kept growing. And okay. it was kind of this pregnancy magazine turned into a pregnancy website. And the pregnancy website became the bigger opportunity at that time. And so we just kept growing that and realizing that, you know, the pregnancy users were becoming baby users and baby users then become toddler, you know, users. And mm-hmm. so we ended up with this massive online community that, you know, kind of took people from preconception all the way through raising teenagers and everything in between. And then, you know, took a multimedia approach. I started doing magazines. I had a radio show. I did video. It just started to become just an entire universe devoted to parenting in mm-hmm. every single media format. And so as it got bigger, it got more attention. And so we started getting, you know, sort of calls from other companies who wanted to acquire the business. And that's how we ended up selling the business to Disney.
Oh, got it.
And the only reason why I'm bringing that up is because being sort of that transition point helped me, you know, formulate the ideas for the next business, which is 30 Seconds, which you so kindly introduced already. But I feel like, you know, I just wanted to let you know that that was how sort of that transition happened. So I was with Disney for a couple of years. And at the time, it was really clear that mobile was becoming the next frontier. Mm-hmm. And, you know, busy moms and dads were just, you know, inundated with information at the tip of their, you know, fingertips, literally all the time. You know, we're on our phones constantly. And so the challenge, the next problem I saw kind of as an entrepreneur is how do you break through that noise and, you know, give parents great information without taking too much of their most precious asset, which is their time. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to get messages that would help, you know, make life better in the same amount of time it would take to watch an ad on TV. And that's how I came up with 30 seconds. You know, that 30 seconds is, you know, we're trained by TV to absorb a message, you know, in that amount of time. So I thought, okay, if we can do that for ads, why can't we do that for great content? So that became my mission, is to develop great content that will help, you know, make life better in the same amount of time it takes to watch an ad. So that's how we got to 30 seconds.
So that very digestible, very fast moving, but helpful and thorough pieces on 30 yeah. seconds.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, we certainly never wanted to skimp on, you know, quality, on, you know, the depth, the inspirational components of the content. And all of the content is created by people that we vet ahead of time. So we know who these people are. You can't just post mm-hmm. on 30 seconds. Everything, you know, as you know, Michael, has to go through our queue. It gets submitted and then it gets reviewed by our team. And then it gets, you know, sort of fact checked if it's that type of an article, if it needs sources, what have you. And then we do our own style editing and then we publish. Or we don't, you know, there's a lot of content that never makes it onto the site. Mm-hmm. And then there's perspectives, there's opinions, there's, you know, sort of tips and hacks, there's recipes, there's all kinds of, you know, rich content that's all designed to make, you know, life better in some way, whether that means we're giving you a parenting tip or whether that means it's a career idea, or if it's something to make for dinner that night because you're exhausted and you only have, you know, 20 minutes. We'll give you a quick and easy recipe to make. So that's what this is all about.
So I'm looking at it right now, but I think you'd do it better justice to explain it. I kind of refer to it as a daily parenting newspaper. Like I open it up in the morning and I see what's on the front page, and there's several tabs. There's mom, dad, pregnancy, health, food, beauty, travel, top tips. I mean, mm-hmm. even today's front page, and you're also very involved on the daily. You're not just, you're not just you don't just run it, you contribute to it too, which is fantastic. Yeah. But it's everything from recipes to talking about seven essential strengths kids need to thrive right now, honoring dads on Father's Day, even articles about entrepreneurship and motherhood and crafts. How would you explain it to anybody, any of our listeners that have never been there, and you wanted to give them just a quick nutshell on how to find it? And I'll recap at the end, but how to find it, what it's about, and if they want to contribute or attempt to contribute.
Thank you. Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate it. I mean, I think it's the way to think about it is that we try to cover topics we believe parents are interested in, not only about parenting, but about your life outside of parenting. We realize that parents are, you know, while we are obsessed with our kids to a certain extent, we also need to, you know, take a trip, or we need to, you know, advance our careers, or we need to, you know, make dinner. Like I said, it's all these little things that are part of your life as a busy parent. And so we want to make sure that we're whatever, you know, we're thinking about, because we are parents ourselves, you know, that we're sharing content that we think will inspire you in your life as a parent, whether that means, like I said, it's something about your kid or not. It's about, you know, things that we think parents are interested in. And so about my role, I mean, I feel compelled almost to share. So if I find myself on the daily, literally, like if I see something in my own life that I did that, you know, simplified or fixed a problem, or, you know, was delicious, or, you know, a travel planning tip, I am going to share that, because why not, right? If it helped me, it could help another parent. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the way that I think. And that's how, you know, our other team members, like Donna, who, you know, like that's how she thinks. And so we'll just, you know, whether it's ourselves or whether it's something that we see, maybe we see one of our friends on Facebook posting a great tip of, that they, you know, they might not have thought of themselves as a writer necessarily, but if we say, oh my gosh, that's a fantastic tip, you should share that, you know, they'll share it. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was just published. You know, so it's an exciting thing, whether or not you're a professional writer, which we have many of, or whether you're a expert, like you, you know, mentioned, you know, a couple of the experts on our site right now, like Dr. Michelle Borba or whomever, like they're sharing exceptional expert content, or whether you're a mom or a dad who just, you know, came up with a brilliant hack. We want that on our site. And so, but we're very, you know, picky or critical, however you want to say it, about what gets published. So you're not going to find just any old thing. It's something that we genuinely think is going to, you know, make life better. Those are the three words that I have in my head all the time. Does this make life better? Does it, you know, in some way? It doesn't always have to be something positive, right? Like there's tough topics that we tackle on the site too, but if it makes life better in some way, then we need to share that.
Well, thank you for that. It's nice to kind of share with our listeners, because we have a lot of different types. We have a lot of writers. We have a lot of dad writers. We have a lot of dad bloggers. And, you know, when I got in the mix, writing was part of catharsis, like just getting it out onto a page, whether it was writing about my kids' daily journal or a story I didn't want slipping through the cracks. And I get struck with those aha moments. And I was lucky enough to submit a long time ago onto 30 Seconds. And then I got accepted and kind of folded in there. And I do love that. You can go there for so many different things. And you may not be expecting to click down certain tabs. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, maybe I could do that trip with my family, because this is what it looks like. Or there's a dinner idea, or there I'm dealing with some teen anxiety right now, and here's an expert talking about that, or how to have thriving children, as Dr. Michelle Borba has been recently talking about her book Thrivers, who's on there. So, you know, it's been a great journey over the past few years to watch, because I write on the side, you know, I write longer stories and longer forms, but I really enjoy that, like, you can get it out and put it out there. And then if you're lucky enough, we can, you know, you can get on the pages too. You do cover a wide array of topics and authors, you know, not only parenting subjects, as we've mentioned, travel hints, mental health, dedicated dad pages. We say on our show a lot, we're not experts, but we listen to them. right? Mm-hmm. So we take these smart people, smart articles by smart people, psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors, people that have written in WAPO and New York Times, parenting and stuff, and we'll assimilate those articles to our own lives as dads because we have 12 kids between us. Do you find that as these come in, do you find yourself as a parent still gleaning nuggets off the site and continuously growing?
Oh my gosh, definitely. I mean, and that's one of the fun things about the site every day is that, you know, kind of like, was that Forrest Gump where he was eating a box of chocolates and he said, you never know, you know, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Right.
That's how I feel. That's literally how I feel. Like 30 seconds, it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And it's just, that's what makes it so much fun because, you know, we do have an editorial calendar, right? So we'll follow holidays and Mother's Day and Father's Day and things like that. So there's always great programmed content that you can certainly look forward to and expect. But then there's just the, you know, serendipity and the, you know, amazing content that is written by folks like you, Michael, that is just so powerful and you don't expect it necessarily. But when it comes in, you read it and your eyes well up with tears, or you smile, you giggle, you get a light bulb moment, you know, all of these things that happen literally on a daily basis. And I'm just, it's a treasure. It's like, it's almost, that's another good analogy. It's like a treasure hunt. You know, we're looking into what's submitted, and you find the gems, and then we get the privilege of polishing them up and making them shine and then publishing them to the site and then sharing them with the world. And there's probably no better feeling, you know, in my profession than doing that.
Right.
Thank
right.
you.
Do you see,
thank you for the gems you share.
No, thank you. Do you see trends over time? Do you think that things peak and valley as far as interest is concerned? And this is just an observational standpoint, through 30 seconds lens.
Yes. I mean, I certainly do. I mean, and one of the big trends, you know, in terms of the dad space, because we talked, you mentioned this a little bit earlier in our conversation. You know, one of the things that we're seeing right now is just this huge trend. I don't want to call it a trend because that makes it seem like it's going to stop, but that dads are so much more engaged and it is awesome. Absolutely awesome to see. And one of the things that I think has helped dads to become engaged is that they feel like they can be. They almost have been given permission, whether it's by, you know, society or, you know, the pandemic or whatever you want to call it. It's just, they feel that they can be more engaged, that there's not a stigma, that there's, you know, it's okay to be either a stay-at-home dad or a work-at-home dad or a flex-working dad or remote working, or, you know, and the other issue is paternity leave. I've noticed a huge, you know, sort of change, meaning that more and more dads are taking paternity leave. They don't think it's a bad thing anymore or a scary thing or I'll get in trouble or someone will look down their nose at me or whatever. They're just embracing paternity leave and saying, I'm going to be an equal partner. And so the more and more, you know, people I talk to who are having babies right now, and the mom will say, yeah, I'm taking the first, you know, 6 or 10 weeks of maternity leave. And then my husband, after I'm done, will take paternity leave. So like they have the first, you know, almost, you know, half year of life covered without having to worry about childcare just because of the leave, which I think is absolutely incredible. You wouldn't have seen that, you know, back in my day.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's just really different. So I love that.
It is interesting to me to watch it all, you know, like we are with our show, we're kind of in a bubble. We're four like-minded dads, but I've been to the Dad 2.0 Summit, which, you know, you'll have 750, 1,000 dads attend this thing, and everybody's trying to move the needle, and everybody's trying to become more egalitarian and more present in their, in their father rearing abilities versus say 25, 30 years ago where it was more nuclear driven. Have you seen a change in the paradigm, like beyond that last statement of the traditional roles of fatherhood, let's say from where we grew up to parenting now? You did just mention a lot of that, but have you seen it personally, like through the site?
I have. I mean, I really have. And that's one of the reasons why there's a dedicated dad channel on the site, because dads wanted it and requested it, and we wanted to give them that space. And I should say, though, that on the iParenting site, even so, my previous company, we did have a dad's website. We had Moms Today and Dads Today that were topics just for dads. So this isn't something sort of revolutionary and brand new, but I've always been interested in the journey of fathers, and my own dad was extremely important, is extremely important to me in my life. But he was my rock. And so, I just feel like we have to enable dads to feel that they can be totally equal parents. Because I think that, like I said, I feel like the messaging maybe used to be that, okay, moms are the primary parents and dads are, not the primary. They're just, they're there, but they're not, So I think the messaging has changed. And I think that it's giving dads this feeling like, oh, I'm an equal parent and I'm not the babysitter and all these things. And there was, probably one of my favorite articles on the dad channel on 30 seconds is, I'm not my kid's babysitter. I'm the dad. And that means I am an equal parent. And it was just, that's one of the most sort of, interesting articles, that I want to get out there, because that is the absolute message. And so, this almost joking question that, like when a dad's out at the park or at the grocery store with his kids and someone will come up and say, oh, you babysitting the kids today? Ha ha ha. And this dad was kind of like, no, these are my kids and, I'm parenting my children. That's the message. So whatever we can do to sort of, keep amplifying that to help change the paradigm and to change, dad's perceptions of their own roles in case they're still feeling like, oh gosh, I'm not the primary parent. Let me go ask my wife, how to do this, or they need to just be empowered to say, this is how I do it. This is how I parent. This is how, and moms have a role in that too. I should say they should, not try to run the show or be the, do it my way or the highway. It's let dad do it his way and you do it your way. And I think the kids, quite frankly, benefit from that. Benefit from having that dad, hands on all the time, equal.
Well, you touched on some nerves a little bit. I remember.
Oh,
no, in a good way. I mean, I remember taking my baby to the local coffee shop, and there would be the nanny clique, and then there would be the moms that were tight, and then I would just be hanging out on the bench by myself, and, does anybody want to talk, or does anybody want to? But and then again, to your point, like you do get the cracks. Oh, like if my wife would go away to say Napa for the weekend with her girlfriends, he's got the kids. Watch out, And it's just, I got over it after a while, and I'm like, I need to do some push-ups and just like, hey, like, and flex that muscle of confidence, like, because to your point, so the National At-Home Dad Network is a huge organization, and their whole motto is dads don't babysit. Like dads are partners,
Yeah.
And I think the more and this is where I'm very grateful to not only your site, but 30 seconds and yourself, and for this mantra, for the lack of a better word, is that like it takes media, it takes exposure, it takes the Today Show, it takes, they've got a whole segment now called Dad's On It or Dad's Got It or whatever it's called. But it takes people like Dante Palmer, who started Squat for a Change. So I know it sounds crazy at first, but like, and I had this problem. You would go into men's rooms at insert generic chain restaurant, and there would be no changing table. So here we were trying to be equal, and I'll take the baby and you can sit and enjoy your hamburger, but you'd end up balancing on one knee. And but Dante started a whole movement called Squat for Change, and it's really turned the corner on the way big mass chain restaurants look at this situation. And like, I could go micro example, Bo Coffrin, Lunchbox Dad, wonderful gentleman. He just started making themed lunches for his kids as a fun little trick when he started out being a dad, and it turned into this thing. And now he's still Lunchbox Dad 15 years later, doing Disney lunches and, you know, that's Minions great. Lunches. But anyway, there's all these high profile dads that are still trying to move that needle. And even with our show, like, we try to keep pushing it out. We had a live show last week, our first one since the pandemic, and we had about 15 dads, you know, in the audience, and it was really enjoyable to see the looks in people's faces as you're kind of empowering them to really look within and what is fatherhood about. And it has changed over the years, and I hope the bravado continues out beyond these bubbles. The data, unfortunately, from what I've read, does not 100% support that, but I think it's something that's malleable, you know. And I think that with continued pushing forward of stories, media, hope, thought, reading books like Thrivers, men reading psychology articles, you know, et cetera, we hope to get it, you know, further. What articles would you like to see more from fathers on your site moving forward? Or just general topic articles? Anything that you would like to see that you haven't really seen yet?
Well, I just one last thing on that is you're right. It takes more reps. You know, that's the word that kept coming to mind as you were saying all that, Michael, is that we just need more reps so that there's more exposure, and it's not the exception. It becomes the rule. So I love everything you said. And in terms of what I'd like to see, I think that, you know, we love when dads reflect. We love when dads capture moments and share from their point of view, beautiful. And you do that so well. And I'm not just saying this because I think that you're exceptionally talented at doing that. But those are the things that, I mean, really, they move the needle so, so much, in my opinion, because when dads, you know, give themselves permission to be vulnerable and to, you know, express how these moments with their children affect them and touch them and change them, that there's something more beautiful. I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it right now because, you know, I don't know. I think having a strong dad with a, you know, tender heart is the recipe for successful children, for brave, bold girls in particular. You know, I'm talking to, you know, as the mother of daughters and sons, I think it's important for both, but I just, in terms of that, I think it's really important for dads to be the protector and the, you know, the sort of strong dad, but also have that gentle heart where they can talk to their daughters and they can listen and give feedback. And, you know, that serves as the foundation for healthy relationships going forward for the girls in particular, I think. So please keep doing that. And I hope that you'll encourage, you know, other dads to do that because, that's a thing of beauty, truly is.
Well, yeah, I just mentioned this in another podcast. This is on a macro level, well, because he's a star, but I was reading Bruce Springsteen's biography, Born to Run, and there's a certain section in there, because he's very transparent about mental health. He's very transparent that he went through depression, even though, you know, he's on stage for 60,000 people, and now he comes back and he's in his own head. But he does talk about the children, and he says, you know, when I was an early on rock star and we had children, I would sleep in like a rock star would and then go to the studio on our, you know, campus and whatever. And he missed the waking up. And his wife turned to him one day and he said, Bruce, you don't know what you're missing. You're missing the tenderness of the morning with the children. You're missing the welcoming of them into the day. You're missing seeing them at their most vulnerable as you're kind of gently shaking them in the morning and getting them breakfast and ushering off. And he really took that to heart. And he'd said, all right, I'm changing right here, right now. And I'm not going to miss this anymore. And then he said it was the greatest gift she ever gave me. Now, to your point, you wish that more fathers could really search and find that and then realize that it's a joy. It's a drug. It's euphoric to enjoy great moments with your kids on the daily, you know, even if it's small light celebrations or not everything's happy and bouncy. Of course, we all go through our roller coasters, but, you know, you do wish that the through line was more equal, you know, for dads, and they would see that, and then they'd realize it's easier, you know, to be part of it because it does give me joy versus, you know, a chore, you know. Yeah. Well, speaking of, like, you know, a 30-second side's very positive, upbeat, and optimistic, but there's also a more serious side, you know, where a lot of experts contribute on a wide array of topics, from anxiety to divorce, relationships, mental health, and wellness in general. Do you find that as time goes on, these subjects are becoming more mainstream, and your articles are becoming more helpful as people become more self-aware in these spaces and, you know, kind of more comfortable discussing openly?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, and I think that this whole focus, I think there's been a lot more focus, thank goodness, on mental health. And again, I think the pandemic has especially brought this to light, because so many, you know, adults are suffering, but so many kids are suffering from what's been going on. And so there's been, an enhanced, you know, sort of focus on mental health topics and awareness and resources and getting the help out there that is very, very needed, especially teenagers. Mm-hmm. So many struggle with anxiety and depression. So yes, I think 30 seconds role in that, you know, while we always want to be, you know, uplifting when possible, I feel like even when you're talking about difficult subjects like mental health or depression or suicide, for that matter, we've covered suicide quite a bit. I feel that our role is to make life better, and that means providing this awareness, this insight, these peeks into tough topics and how to sort of navigate and work through. And I think the more that we highlight them, the more reps we give these tough topics, the more, you know, mainstream they become, and therefore more people, I hope, will get the help that they need. So I feel like that's part of our mission. It's very in line with what we're trying to do, even if it is, you know, not the most, you know, bright or inspiring of topics. It's the way that we provide the information, hopefully, is inspiring in some way or another.
Well, it's so there, right? Like, part of that. It's there. And it's, you know, you have a lot of experts, right? It's not just, it's not just me writing from my backyard. It's PhDs and published authors and, you know, people that are very smart in these certain areas that are giving expert advice, which when people are searching, as we all do, I mean, I tripped over a thing the other day and I Googled WebMD for 20 minutes trying to find out what was wrong with my toe. but I'm imagining, like, people are constantly searching to see what's wrong or what's up or if it's a self fix. And I find that your articles are very helpful in those spaces. And like the fatherhood muscles, I'm glad that those muscles are being flexed as well. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's, people are being more open about it and candid. And I want to talk to my children about this. And is everything okay? Especially in the digital age and the technology age, like there's a lot on the screens that we can't monitor 24/7. Mm-hmm. So having these open conversations or pointing to an article and just saying, hey, can you glaze over this? Just so you know, you know, so thank you for that. I mean, like, that it's a great, again, I call it like the daily newspaper of parenting, but you can go on there and really put in search anything you're looking for, you know, and find it. Switching gears a little bit, you know, more onto the future, without giving away top secret entrepreneurial plans, where do you see 30 seconds heading, you know, in the next 5 years? I mean, I've watched it grow and I could regurgitate all that, but where do you see it going and what would you like to see out of it moving forward?
That's a wonderful question. I think that it's been really interesting to watch it evolve. And sometimes when you start something with one idea, it evolves into something else. And I feel like, you know, what started out as a site just to give tips, you know, quick parenting tips or parenting hacks, has really evolved into a, you know, lifestyle media destination and community, which is even more important to me, that not only provides great information, but it allows for a place for like-minded, you know, people who are seeking this inspiration and want to give inspiration to connect. and to, you know, form relationships with each other and to form relationships with people, you know, in the community who are reading and taking the inspiration from this content. It's, you know, a beautiful thing to kind of put something into the world and then watch it evolve and grow and become. So it's already become more than I ever could have, you know, expected. And I hope that that only continues to grow. So within 5 years, you know, I would love to see, you know, where it takes me, but in terms of it takes us, but in terms of what my vision for it is just that it continues to grow its mission, which is touching more lives. And, that means, you know, more readers and more community members. And, I would love, as the world opens back up again, to do more in-person things, mm-hmm. because we used to do a lot in person, and we were even growing toward, we would do like regional meetups. And, you know, as you know, Michael, whenever I would travel a lot, and wherever I would go, I would always be able to meet up with a 30 Seconds community member or tribe member, mm-hmm. you know, wherever, basically anywhere in the world. It would be rare that I could not find someone to meet up with that I, you know, connected with on the website. So my dream was to have bigger events, planned events, you know, kind of like you mentioned before, these conferences almost, where you meet up with 700 to 1,000 people that are all part of the same sort of shared vision or organization. So I would like to, you know, should the world allow, I would like to do that and to make that come to life and to get to meet and be with these amazing people that we've connected with on the site.
Yeah, it is fantastic community. I'll speak firsthand, you know. We talked offline, but we came close to actually meeting out here. You had, and I'm just going to brag on you. You had not one, but two children graduating from college simultaneously. And you were like, hey, would you join us for lunch? And I had a commitment, but then you joined one of my favorite people on your site, Chef Gigi, who's a culinary, my children are as I argue whether it's culinary or culinary, but she's a great chef and she's a leader in thought and she's got great books and we have them. And,
right.
But we become friends through this community and we all support each other online as well. And through Twitter or Instagram, or we're always going back and forth. So it really like the word tribe in your description is not far off. Like it is very tight knit. Not tighten it. It's open to membership, but it's a very close group of people that are trying to move that. So, you know, thank you for hosting that and then coming up with it. And I wish you, you know, tremendous success, because I think that would be a wonderful thing to watch moving forward. Not just like a blogger convention, so to speak, or not that there's anything wrong with those. They're fantastic, but you know, big conventions and meetups and gatherings, because you build that. You're slowly moving the ball down the field, and you know, hopefully that'll affect overall change and macro change from micro articles and daily giving and daily stories. So, well, speaking of traveling, I will not eat up any more of your clock. Cause I know you have children in town. I saw you were kayaking yesterday. Oh my, I'm living vicariously through your life. So we'll just call this last little bit 30 seconds with the founder of 30 Seconds. Alisa, you are quite the world traveler. If you could blink your eyes and be transported anywhere in the world right now, where would that be? And I'm taking Germany off the table.
Oh, you know I've been there before?
Maybe.
maybe a couple times, yeah. Although my husband might tell you that's where he wants to be. But no, the pandemic, that year that never was, we had a bunch of trips planned, and one of them was to Bali. Ugh. And that was my absolute bucket list place, okay? Like, if I had to go anywhere in the world, I had one place to go, it would probably be Bali. And so we were finally going to go. Believe it or not, there was a business purpose for it. It wasn't just vacation. And so we couldn't go. Obviously, all of our trips, we had, I don't know, 8 or 10 trips planned, all got scrapped. And so if I could blink my eyes and be there, I would probably be in Bali.
You would have a cabana with a glass floor and look down at the fish. Oh.
Exactly. Doesn't that sound awful?
I've got nothing. I'm getting in a minivan in a week and going to Montana. That's about it. The Griswolds are heading out.
Oh, are you kidding? I watch your travels on social media. You have a very, very good time.
All right, we do have fun.
Oh, absolutely fun.
All right, question two. You speak to and inspire many female entrepreneurs at this point in your incredible career. Having two daughters of my own, and I think there's about six on our show from the different dads. Can you give us three or four rapid fire tips that you have shared or they can lean on as mantras and as young entrepreneurs? My daughter's got an Etsy store that sells slime. What would you tell her?
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Go slime. I think that's fantastic. I have a few tips. Yes, I do. And I think, you know, one of the ones that I want to say right off the bat is get comfortable with being uncomfortable. That was one of the things that I learned early on, is that typically I was, you know, very oftentimes the only girl. For example, I was the only girl on my Little League baseball team. Mm. We ended up winning the city championships. So that was no kidding.
That's awesome.
And so that from that experience, you know, very early on, I learned that, you know, it's really okay. If no other girl wants to do it, or there's no other woman present, you know, you can hold your own. You can do this no matter what. You know, own your differences and believe in yourself and be yourself. Don't put on any other, you know, sort of personality or persona. Just be yourself and own that, because that confidence that you carry will, you know, bring you success. So that's the first one. The second one is about fear, because I think a lot of, you know, young girls, young women are afraid, and it's okay to be afraid. I don't want them to think, gosh, you know, I have to be fearless. What does that mean to be fearless? I don't really believe in that necessarily. I think fear is very real and it's okay to be afraid. But what I don't want to have happen is for fear to stop them. I think you need to, you know, tell yourself that it's okay to be afraid, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to be courageous and I'm going to try. And if I fail, I've learned, but I tried. And then I can try again and use what I learned from the failure, you know, to succeed next time. So that's my second. And then the third is that you should always, always be curious. And that to me means, you know, you are never going to stop learning, no matter how old you are, no matter if you're in school or not, you're always going to be learning something and trying to answer questions. Be aware of your surroundings, you know, kind of observe what's happening around you, you know, and look for situations that you think need improvement. Do you see a better solution? Mm-hmm. Is there a problem that you can solve? That all, in my mind, is about curiosity and learning and being observant and, you know, finding opportunities, really. Mm-hmm. And that all goes hand in hand for me.
That is fantastic advice. I mean, because we're obviously out here in Silicon Valley, you know, and we mm-hmm. there's a lot of entrepreneurs in the news all the time. But having the base tips and something they can lean on and listen to is very important. Mm-hmm. So thank you for those. That's fantastic stuff. I have to get them to stop watching Shark Tank and actually listen to which they have taken it to the next level in our house. They had a whole presentation on why they should get a driveway pool last year, and they had anyway. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, and California. We don't have the real estate you do out there in Illinois. It's, you know, we're tight and lean out here, but we like it. So
I love California.
And final question here, since we're nearing lunchtime here out west, I'll just go way off topic. There's tons of delicious recipes and I get suckered in by the pictures alone. And then I'm like, well, can we just do that for dinner tonight? So what are some of your favorite go-to recipes on 30 seconds? And that'll put a close on, and then we can both go to lunch.
Yeah. Oh, I love that, because, you know, the food channel on 30 seconds, I will say, has just exploded. And I think it's because, you know, pandemic driven, need, you know, we were all home, we were all cooking so much more. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is especially true for me, by the way, you know, going from being a very, you know, a traveling fool to, you know, sitting in my house for a year, I cooked, you know, nonstop. And so you want to take the opportunity to cook more creatively, make things maybe you'd never made before. You know, like paella, that was a big thing on 30 seconds. Like, I'm going to make paella, you know, so I never would have done that in the past. I would have said I'm too busy or whatever. So food. And so I find at this moment, anything with lemon is just raging on 30 seconds. Lemon, anything.
Wow.
So, yeah, lemon. And you know, Donna and I, you know, Donna is our senior digital producer. Mm-hmm. We were talking about why is lemon just raging right now? And she said, I think it's because, you know, we need something refreshing. We need something that denotes cleanliness and rebirth and, you know, and just kind of rejuvenation. And I think, you know, she's onto something because lemon, whenever you put lemon on something, it just brightens it up, right? It just makes it sing.
Yes.
and makes it feel fresh. So we've got like a lemon salmon recipe, like there's a couple of them actually, whether you want to, you know, do lemon salmon on the grill, a steep plank, or you want to make it into a sandwich. There's a lemon tuna pasta. There's lemon scallops. There's this lemon vinaigrette dressing that is flying. If this was a retail store, 30 seconds of a store, it would be flying off the shelves, okay?
Yeah.
We can't keep it in stock, the lemon vinaigrette. And then lastly, like lemon cookies. So anything with lemon, you can go on there and check it out, Michael. And I, you know, tell me what you decide to make and tell me if it's good. Because right now it's, you know, lemon or nothing.
Well, I'll throw in a little California humble brag. Our neighbors have both a Meyer lemon tree and a lemon tree, and they both hang into our yard, and we don't let them touch it because they're cool, and they just let us pick lemons every morning. They're like, oh, go ahead, just take, and they have an orange tree that hangs over the back too, and so we can get fresh oranges. Well, if it's not wildfires and earthquakes, at least we have fruit, right? At least we could dive into some fresh lemon meringue while the earth is shaking underneath of us.
Exactly.
Well, listen,
oh my gosh.
I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your website and allowing me the opportunity to write and get it out there. Just little stories or journalist stories in my life, because someday my kids will read them, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity. But thanks for all you're doing as well. And let's continue that conversation. Hopefully, you'll be on our show again down the pipeline. But I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Absolutely.
And I really respect and appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for having me. It was a total joy to talk to you. And I appreciate all that you submit and share with us on 30 Seconds and all you do to, you know, celebrate and honor and kind of promote and forward thinking dads. I mean, thank you for that. That's important work.
Absolutely. And thank you. So if you're looking around, there's a million different ways to get there. I've found out, but the website is, you can go old school, www.30seconds.com, or you can just put in 30seconds.com, Instagram, 30 Second Mom, Twitter at 30 Seconds, Pinterest, 30 Second Mom, Facebook, 30 Second Mom. I think you've covered all the mediums at this point. But,
well, I hope so. If there's something else, let me know what we've missed. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, have a wonderful weekend. Tell your family who doesn't know me, because that's not weird. Tell them all hello, especially your husband, who I do follow on the 30 Second website. And he's a delightful writer as well. And continue success.
Thank you. And he feels the same way about you. Thank you.
All right. We will meet in the middle somewhere along this journey.
Yes.
All right,
Elisa.
Absolutely.
I know that very soon. Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Time Out Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour. My turn!
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Time Out Show. And we're out of here.